Welcome to St. Martha the Fields, special welcome to those joining us online, and welcome to Great Sacred Music. I've been away a couple of Thursdays, but as you all know, no one can stay away from Great Sacred Music for very long. So welcome back those of you who have been with us in the past and are rejoining us. World Water Day falls tomorrow, as I'm sure every one of you was thinking when you woke up this morning. So it gives us a chance to reflect on the place of water, obviously amidst climate change, but also in our scriptural tradition. We think of maybe three kinds of relationship to water as a cosmic force. You obviously creation, the spirit brooding over the waters, Noah, the definitive water story, the parting of the Red Sea, also the definitive water story, the Jordan, the story of Jonah, the storm on the Sea of Galilee moving into the New Testament, calmed by Jesus, and then Jesus walking on the water to take some of the most distinctive cosmic force stories. And then water is a source of life, from a rock in the wilderness under Moses, the still waters of Psalm 23, the living water of John chapter 4, and the river of the water of life in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. And then baptism, which brings together all of those different connotations of water as a means of cleansing, and perhaps another story that brings all of those meanings together, Naaman dipping himself seven times in the River Jordan in 2 Kings chapter 5. Well, it's our tradition at Great Sacred Music to begin with a hymn that we all sing together, and you can find our opening hymn on the inside of your handouts. If you're in the building and you haven't got a handout, that you can find them towards the back of the aisle. And this is a hymn written by Michael Perry, who was an evangelical hymn writer and vicar of Tunbridge in Kent, died tragically young in his 40s. It's unusual for an evangelical hymn because it focuses not on how Jesus gives us peace, but on what that peace actually feels like. There are analogies from creation, followed by a turn to human experience of friendship or forgiveness, and each of the verses is structured in the same way. The whole hymn dwells on Paul's memorable phrase about the peace of God that passes all understanding. Those of you who have known All Souls Langham Place, I would say our partner rather than competitor church up by the BBC, will know Noel Tridinick, who was, a doyen of music making All Souls Langham Place. I think he became director of music at All Souls in 1385. And retired just a year or two ago. And he named this tune that he wrote, Old Yevering, after the birthplace of Christianity in North Northumberland, where Paulinus first baptized converts to Christianity in the 7th century. We remain seated. The voices stand and lead us as we sing, Like a Mighty River Flowing.
Thank you.
So we began a few moments ago with Palestrina's glorious Latin setting of Psalm 42, and now we're going to hear a contemporary English setting of Psalm 42 written by the Queen's Master of the Music, Judith Weir. Psalm 42 begins with the words, "Like as the heart desireth the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee, O God," in the King James Version and Translation. And if you think about the Palestinian original Holy Land context for these words, where you could go days or weeks without rain, and you imagine the deer panting and longing and yearning for water, then we've got one of the Bible's most definitive images of what it's like to yearn for God, but then fundamentally and theologically for what it's like for God to yearn for us. And so in this wonderful psalm and this beautiful setting, we have a perfect picture of what it's like for God to yearn for our responsive love. Let's enjoy it now. Well, we're going to hear now two contemporary pieces. The second one is by the African-American contemporary composer Trevor Weston from John chapter 7. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If we think about the role that water plays in John, I already mentioned earlier John chapter 4 with Jesus and the Samaritan woman by the well, and the contrast between the stagnant water of her life and the living water that Jesus promises to bring, and how water plays such a powerful role in the imagery of John chapter 4. And then this is chapter 8, and then of course at the very end of John's gospel, when the soldier puts the spear into Jesus's side, this is only in John's gospel, doesn't appear in the other gospels, out comes water and blood. So those are three poignant moments where water plays a role, and we're going to hear a very recent setting of one of those in a moment. But before that, we are going to hear a setting of Revelation 22. And in Revelation 22, we get a reunion. So in Genesis, if you think about the story of the Garden of Eden, we get a contrast between the garden, which is good, and the city, which is bad. Cain, after killing Abel, goes and founds the first city. But Revelation 22, by contrast, brings the garden back into the city. So that's part of that sort of sense of bringing reconciliation, not just between human beings and between human beings and God, but between the garden and the city, between nature and human nature. And the poignancy of singing this and hearing this today is that it was composed by James Whitbourne, who died just 9 days ago on March the 12th, only 60, after a recent diagnosis of cancer. James Whitbourne, a very significant composer in the history of great sacred music, a very significant composer for our Nazareth community here at St. Martin's, for whom one of his pieces is almost a signature tune. So a great poignancy in honoring the wonderful work of James Whitbourne and his composing in enjoying the pure river of the water of life in his memory just now.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for us all to sing again. If you'd like to find the inside of your handouts, we're going to sing the hymn "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." The Great Disruption, those of you from north of the border will remember it well, those of you who are still alive in 1843. The Great Schism, in which 450 evangelical ministers broke away from the 1,200 strong clergy of the Church of Scotland to form the Free Church of Scotland. Main conflict? Anybody remember back then? The main conflict was whether the Church of Scotland or the British government had the power to control clerical positions and benefits. There was a partial reunion in 1929, but that was only partial, and the Free Church of Scotland still exists, as you will well know. Horatio Bonner wrote this hymn when he was 35 years old, shortly before he joined the Free Church Schism. It's an incredibly moving hymn. It takes a different text for each verse. Matthew 11, for "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden," and then John 4, as we've been talking about, the streams of living water in the story of Jesus and Samaritan woman, and then John chapter 8, which we've just heard a setting of by Trevor Weston just a moment ago. And it's incredibly powerful testimony, but I think what's to me most remarkable about this hymn is it's not your standard, "My life was miserable and then I met Jesus and then everything was super hunky-dory." It's not that kind of a hymn. It's a much more humane hymn. So if you just look at the last few verses, the few lines of verse 1, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." It's a very humane, honest reckoning with what it is to walk the life of faith. It's not sentimental, it's profound and very direct. And it wasn't written for this tune. How do I know that? Because this tune wasn't written until 1905. So you can work that out for yourself. Written by, what puts this hymn from being a beautiful Scottish hymn to, you know, Premier League status is its combination with the genius of Vaughan Williams, who wrote the tune Kingsfold, which sounds like one of those tunes that's been part of our life forever, but was actually only written for the English hymnal in 1906. We'll join in this very moving hymn. Together we remain seated, the voices stand and lead us as we sing, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say."
I
Well, we're coming towards the end of Great Sacred Music for this week. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. If you have, there's a chance, if you're in the building, to make a donation as you leave, either by swipe or with big fat wads of notes. We're coming into the holiest week in the church's year, Holy Week. If you've never been to St. Martin's on Palm Sunday, you really must come. The Passion play that is performed on Palm Sunday at the 10 o'clock service is possibly the most remarkable thing in the whole of the church year here at St. Martin's, and is unforgettable for those who've been before. But we have music and worship in the building all through the week, and you'll note on the back of your sheets that after we'll have the music and addresses on Good Friday, 12 till 3, and then on Saturday night we have Allegri's Miserere by candlelight, a profound way to share in the faith of Holy Saturday. The voices will be singing that night, so again, not to be missed. And then you can go to bed nice and early, get up for the Easter Vigil at 5:30. Don't forget the clocks change. And then join us at 10 o'clock for the great celebration of Easter Day. It's the central time of our year. Do note our upcoming choral classics on Sunday, and the next great sacred music is going to be obviously based around Holy Week, being on Maundy Thursday. We're going to finish with Like a Mighty Stream from Amos chapter 5, where Amos denounces those who make gestures of piety but don't back them up with justice and fairness. Well, made most famous by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who quoted this line in his letter from a Birmingham jail. I thought I'd just read you his famous words from that famous letter that provide the backdrop to this setting by Moses Hogan and John Jacobson. Here we go. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed in the view of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see with one of our distinguished jurists that justice too long delayed is justice denied. Thanks for joining us.